truth. Fact or fiction? The grand filter must be applied continuously. We are in an amphitheater. The amphitheater is the entire world stage. We have an opportunity for a ringside seat. The question is, are we going to move in to that seat? One wise man saith, "We have given you freedom. It is up to you to keep it." Another one said, "The way to lose freedom is for good men to see it and do nothing about it." In other words, they see the freedom slipping away, and they just expect others to be their salvation. The little raindrop says, "Oh, what good can I do? I'm only one little raindrop." The good man saith, "I am one raindrop, and I'm going to count, and I'm going to start a flood." Drain the swamp with pure water of truth. That's the flood. Or be an earthquake. One little tremor. I'm going to shake up the sleeping thoughts of those who are asleep. Or I'm going to be a wind. I'm going to be a fire. One little element is the beginning. Who's going to decide to be that one little element and begin at the beginning to do it? Mary Baker Eddy says that the only power obtainable is the good we do and embody. There must be a creative thought. There must be the realization that mind provides the capacity, the functionality, the facility, everything that is needed. The intelligence, the wisdom, the knowing. In the glossary, the definition of good is spirit, God, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, omniaction. Put that together with what Mary Baker Eddy said, that we must embody good in order to have power. Our body is every thought, speech, and action. Christ Jesus stated that thinking something is the same as doing it, or in effect, it is enabled to produce the same result. Frederick L. Rawson, one of the finest practitioners of all time, said that we should be able to demonstrate everything mentally. He was in a shooting contest, and he got his thought so close to God that he won the contest without looking at the target, with his head pointed away from the target. He saved a man's life who had a pile of rocks dumped on him, covered him up totally. He said these words, obviously with full understanding and conviction, "There is nothing but God." And the man jumped up through the pile of rocks like a rocket, totally unharmed, not a scratch. It was all mental. He didn't go there and dig the man out. He dug the thought of truth. He exposed it so that it was the dominating power. Not the theory that there's life, truth, and intelligence in rocks that can take away man's life or can bring injury or accident. Mary Baker Eddy states that there are specific steps for healing. The first one is to analyze so we can determine the exact evil. Number two is to expose that exact evil. Number three is to deny its reality. And she says often it's better to name it specifically or describe it very briefly, not giving any great details about the symptom. And then affirming the truth or explaining the evil away with the truth. Mr. Rawson was the author of a book called Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. It is a list of 1,315 potential problems with the exact counterfact, the problem being the theory. And again, he names it or gives it a very brief description, and he explains it away with the truth by showing you exactly what the counterfact is. There's no excuse for one saying they don't know how to pray. Prayer is an action. It's a verb. It's not a hope. It's not a wish. It's not anything esoteric at all. Mary Baker Eddy states, I believe it's on page 528 or thereabouts, that's of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. She says, I have now reduced Christian Science to a system. A system is required so that everyone has the same formula and can work with that and solve a problem. The mathematical tables are the same for everyone. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is, what your religion is, your background, your education. All you have to do is know the math tables, period. And when you multiply 7 by 7 times 7, it doesn't matter who you are, your background, circumstance, your family, your atmosphere of life, you know it's 49. It's always 49. Doesn't matter whether it's rain or shine, sleet, snow, or hail, whether it's 50 below zero or 200 degrees. I don't think anyone has been in that weather. Let's say 120. So whether it's 50 below or 120 above, it is still the fact. Now this all sounds like it's pretty simple, but the problem is evil has plans to prevent us from knowing the fact. They have an organized, highly organized disinformation system. They utilize greedy, control-hungry, sensual-driven thought as victims to implement the plan. They use mass media, print, internet, audio, video, to promote the disinformation program of evil. One of the agencies has a program called Project Mockingbird. And the director of that agency, three-letter government agency, stated, "We will know our program has been completed when the entire American public believes falsity." In other words, everything they believe is false. Can you imagine? It's a government agency. Another government agency a year ago announced a very similar tactic, and there was so much backlash once the public knew about it that they dropped it. And now that things have calmed down, they've announced it again. It's only known because the cybersecurity of one of our very fine military, who is seeking to drain the swamp and work with others who have that as their goal, they broke the code, which was an encrypted phone call between three of our government agencies. That's America. Other countries have the same problem. You name it, and there's an evil intelligence agency, or should I say ignorance agency. They're ignorant of the truth. They're ignorant that evil can never win over truth in the long run. When everything is said and done, truth wins. But there may be pure H-E-L-L to go through until that is accomplished. It's up to every good person to do their part. Be a raindrop. Be the beginning of a storm, the beginning of an earthquake, or wind, or fire. Fire meaning a symbol for purification. Whatever you need to do, and whatever you have your thought open to that is constructive, legal, peaceful method, that's what you need to be involved in to help make this happen. If we don't do it, we will lose the Republic of the United States of America. We're on the precipice because the workings of evil have been ignored for so long. Mary Baker Eddy prophesied this day coming, and she said, if we don't stand our ground and do something about it, we will go into a dark age period that is longer than any in the history of mankind. The honest scientists that study weather know that we have already embarked on an ice age. No, there's no global warming. That is a facade. That's a cover-up for the ice age. Remember, evil always announces the opposite of the truth. They do everything possible through mass media, print, music, everything. In fact, I don't know whether you call this music. There's no melody to it. You know, today's music is noise. It's not melody. It's not harmony. There's no creativeness in it, at least not good. Good is, remember, Spirit, God, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. Look for that. Look for that. Look for those qualities and all of their attributes. Then you'll know you're dealing with God, Spirit. You're dealing with the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Some of the ways in which this grand disinformation program is implemented includes attacking truth messengers, fabricating evil untruths about them. One politician who is deemed to be the number three spot in power, and it doesn't take much ingenuity to figure out, because you know there's a president and a vice president. Those are considered to be number one and two. They call it the wrap-up smear. They said you fabricate a lie about an individual. You give that to the media. Obviously, it has to be a corrupt media. The media announces it, publicizes it, promotes it. And then the one that originated the lie shows the media as their authoritative source to try to advertise it to the public. There's a video on this. We put it on the website off and on. The director of one of our three-letter agencies said that he was raised in his career via military academy, and he said the motto of the academy was to always be truthful and don't tolerate any of those who are not. Integrity was one of the key elements of being able to graduate from that academy. He said, but as director, I learned that out in the real life, the agency I'm a director of not only lies, cheats, and steals, but they have classes that they have the members of this huge government agency attend to learn how to lie, cheat, and steal. And he was laughing as he was saying it. He said, this is where our American experiment is. This is where America is now. With the top agencies, by top I mean in size and considered an intelligence agency, this is where they are in their line of thinking. How about our education system? What are they doing to the children? My gosh. Every day I think, how can they go lower than this? And the next day, sure enough, they come up with a new, lower way to corrupt the children. I saw a video where a teacher was training probably 4-year-olds, it was kindergarten, 3 words, I hate, and then the name of one of God's messengers. I hate, and they were jumping up and down and dancing to music. I hate such and such. If you ask somebody that is promoting evil, why, what did that person do wrong? They have no answer. Because they're under mind control. One of the biggest areas of the intelligence agencies is mind control. Teaching mind control. Teaching how to protect oneself against mind control. But how to project it onto a victim. And we're talking individual, collective, and universal. If one is working on an important project and they're wondering why everything is going wrong, you don't have to look any further. There could be universal mind control that is being effective. Wentworth Winslow, another one of our finest practitioners of all time, he healed one. He raised one from the dead. Healed every other ailment you can think of. He wrote 4 books on God. One is entitled, Let God Do It. The second one was, God Can Do It. The third one, God Will Do It. The fourth one, God Is Doing It. He was raised in a wealthy family. Decided instead of following the blue blood line of a professional career in which he had a letter of introduction to the best contacts that anyone could imagine. He had the finest education, obviously the family background with all their contacts and successes. He decided he'd be the prodigal son. So he went off and did all of the things that are enticements for a human being. Finally came to the point where he was given a prognosis that he could not live. He was at the end of the rope. And he was a very young man, in his 20s. You can read his bio. It's on the website. But the bottom line is that he had a choice. Was he just going to accept the prognosis of what was then considered the finest doctors in one of the largest cities? And he had a group of them. They all agreed independently with the same prognosis. It's the end of the line for you, fella. You've done all the drinking and drugging and smoking and everything else on the possible list of evils. And now it's time to meet your maker. In other words, you're going to hell, whether you like it or not. Someone told him about a Christian Science practitioner. He had no confidence or hope whatsoever for there to be any solution. But he finally came to the conclusion, what can he lose? The medical profession says this is the end of the line. He's a young man. He's got all this great potential, great education background, fine vocabulary, all the goodies that are needed to communicate. So he decided he would try it. It took several months, but finally, love dissolved the resistance, dissolved the effectiveness of evil, and he was healed. And when that happened, he decided he would devote the rest of his life to helping others. He became one of the finest. He says, imagine yourself in a room. There's a radio on one side, and there's a telephone on the other. Telephone, of course, is duplex, as we all know. Both people can talk, they can argue. At the same time, whatever. Not hearing each other, but trying to get their own thought across. And a radio, the kind he referred to, not a two-way radio or anything else, it's just a one-way, unilateral broadcasting, and it's connected to station KOG, Kingdom of God, broadcasting only the truth about everything. And what is everything? Everything is really all existence, which is really a set of values, qualities. And I already stated how Mary Baker Eddy, the genius, defined God not as a man, not as a woman, not as a child, not as someone that came out of a woman's womb, but as qualities. The incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That's the only kind of thing that can be omnipresent. A personality can't be omnipresent because that comes and goes like the wind. Like Mary Baker Eddy describes, it's like a flower. A wind comes along and it's gone. The only thing that can be permanent is something that is of the substance of spirit. Not matter. Spirit. The only substance, the substance that is flawless, therefore it's transparent, and therefore it's reflective. The Indians had this beautiful lake with just lovely surroundings of a landscape. The water was calm. They looked into the lake and they could see this beautiful reflection. Perfect. No ripples in the water. It was absolutely like glass. They called it the smile of the Great Spirit. What kind of a reflection are we going to be interested in seeing? If we let it, God will be and is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. Soul has puzzled a lot of people. I've explained a little bit about mind and spirit. Soul is sense. No, it's not infatuation. It's not lust. It is the sense that is of the quality of spirit. The only real sense is spiritual sense. It's like playing the game of Monopoly. You get this card that says, get out of jail free. In other words, if you land on the wrong little square as you're moving your icon around the board, you know, you shake the dice and it tells you how many positions that you move, and one of them says get out of jail free, so you get a card that lets you get out of jail free. You have other one, if you hit it, it says go to jail. You've been a bad boy or a bad girl, you go to jail. So if you've got to get out of jail card free, you're all right. If you're not, you'll sit there in jail. So if we look through the right lens, which is the lens of spirit, then we bypass jail. We bypass the misery of H-E-L-L. We bypass the enticements of mortal mind, which is all the concepts of sensuality. In other words, if we're really living spirit, we're not enticed by control over other people. We're not enticed by matter being our God, whether it's money, real estate, gold, the perfect beauty queen as our wife, or muscle man as our husband, or whatever, or the most intelligent person, or the most wealthy person, or whatever. We're not enticed by any of that because we understand that that is temporary. It's temporal. The scientific statement of being states there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. And we can add anything we want to there. Mortal mind, mesmerism, electricity, hypnotism, anything you want that's unlike God, you can just tack it on. Because there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in it. Because, as the next sentence says, all is infinite mind. And it's infinite manifestation. Why? The next sentence, the next phrase tells us. Because God is all in all. Why? The next phrase tells us. Spirit is immortal truth. So there's the truth. Why? Because matter is mortal error. Why? Because spirit is the real and eternal. Why? Because matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God. What is God? There it is right there. Spirit is God. And who? You and I, everyone, is God's image and likeness. We all join hands. We're all one brethren. We're all one brotherhood. Man is God's image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. Well, what is he? He's spiritual. Now, you can take that simple statement, and I say simple because it's very straightforward, but boy, does it have power if we know how to use it. You can take any ailment you want and stick it in there instead of the word matter, and you can take yourself and replace the word man. I am God's image and likeness. Everyone is God's image and likeness if you're working for universal. And if you're working for collective, you know, this group, you know, you could say government. Although it seems to be universal, it's not. It's like a big company. You want to go, you want to have an appointment with somebody, and they've got this massive skyscraper that is their office. But who are you dealing with? One individual. One person. That company, as far as you're concerned, is one person. One individual. In fact, don't even think of them as a person. Think of them as an individual. An individual reflection of good. And know that that person can only be, or that individual can only be promoting good. Integrity. The qualities of God. Then you're dealing with God. It's like two people. Two individuals. Keep making that same mistake. Two individuals. Okay? Let's say they live on opposite sides of the United States, as an example. One of them's in fact, the Northwest, or even Alaska. The other one is in the furthest southern extreme, which is, say, on the Keys of Florida. The furthest one away, whatever it is. And they're both looking up in the sky. And let's suppose, for this example, the sky is where their thought of heaven is, their thought of perfection, their thought of the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Let's just say that that is the symbolism for looking up to perfection. The more they learn about perfection, the closer they get. Because they're moving up that beam or ray of light, getting closer and closer to the source. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. There's nothing concrete about anything other than total perfection. Concrete is just a word that's described to be something as a symbol for solid. Something you can depend on. Think about what concrete is made of. Now, I'm no expert on construction, but I know there's water in there. There's sand. I think it's lime. You can put rocks in there, mix it all up. If anything's missing, you're missing something in the total picture of what concrete should be. So you cannot have a structure that you're building that has something missing. There cannot be an element missing from your structure, otherwise you're not going to have a strong foundation. That's what we want to build in our consciousness, a strong foundation. So you can use this scientific statement of being by just substituting words. You got to make sure you get them in the right place. Don't say there is no life, truth, and intelligence in God. Or there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in love. Or mind, or intelligence, or anything like that. But you certainly could say there's no life, truth, and intelligence in ignorance, which is the opposite of intelligence. Or there's no life, truth, and intelligence in mortal mind. Because if mind is immortal, mind cannot be mortal. Anyway, you can have a lot of fun with that. And I can tell you about a personal experience I had. I had something that was appearing above my right eye. I don't know. I just called it a growth. Who knows? I've never been to MD for any kind of health reasons. So I don't know what they would call it, but whatever, doesn't matter. The point is that it was growing. And I was kind of like that military where the commander, you know, they were being subject to mind control by their opposition. And the commander of the military said, think of something you know. He said, mathematical tables. You all know the mathematical tables. You know, 1 times 1, 1 times 2, 1 times 3, 2 times 1, 2 times 2, 2 times 3, 2 times 4, and so forth. He says, go through the mathematical tables as much as you know of them. Only focus on that. Nothing else. Forget about firing your gun or anything else. Just focus on that so you can get your thoughts straight. So that's what he taught him to do. Well, I knew one thing for sure, and that was the scientific statement of being. I could say it frontwards and backwards, upside down, inside out. And I knew it well enough that I could substitute words consistently and follow through the whole statement, keeping that word consistently in the right spot in the statement. Well, instead of growing and growing and growing, it decreased, decreased, and decreased. And I only did it when I was in the shower, because that was a time that I could forget about everything else and no distractions. And so I stated that in the sign, you know, I took a shower twice a day. Most people probably take it once a day or once a week, whatever, I don't know. But I took it twice a day. When I got up in the morning and when I went to bed at night, I wanted to be clean. I wanted to feel fresh. Anyway, whenever I took a shower, that's what I did. I did nothing but state that genuinely, seriously and sincerely. It disappeared. It disappeared. And it wasn't just saying the words that made it happen. It was getting my thought embedded. And I was in the atmosphere that I was creating with my focus. Mary Baker Eddy wrote a letter on vision to one of her students. And she said, are you able to focus no matter what comes your way? Obviously, she meant to focus on the truth. Can we focus no matter what comes our way? Or are we going to let, like Mr. Winslow says, let that, in fact, I don't think I even finished that story, but anyway, he said, imagine you got a phone that's in duplex, and I didn't finish it. I should have said, and imagine it starts ringing. Well, that is a suggestion of mortal mind to pick it up and listen to the suggestion. In fact, it's very happy if you argue with it, because that means you are in the same level that mortal mind is. Obviously, we want to stay at a level above it. Einstein said you cannot solve a problem if you work on the same level as where the problem was recognized. So, we can't be arguing, because then we're on the same level as mortal mind. If we're talking to an individual, we want to be on the same level as they are, because we need to be able to communicate with them. Now, that doesn't mean our thought has to stay on that level if it's a low level. But we have to be able to communicate. We can't think we're up in the sky and they are, you know, down below. We can claw ourselves up to the zero level if we have to go down below to expose the evil. But we shouldn't be looking for it in a person. We shouldn't be looking at a person at all. We should only be thinking of an individual as a reflection of God. Well, anyway, mortal mind will try a lot of tricks. I named a few of them. And there's other ones. You know, they'll think of everything they can do. It'll think of everything. Well, let me put it this way. The suggestion is to destroy the reputation of the truth messenger. Another one is distractions. Earthquakes, flood, fire, hurricane. These are all man-made. We have the technology, we being the government of the U.S., has developed the technology to be able to create all of these things and direct them to a specific location. They don't like to talk about it. They don't want you to know about it. It's a very big secret. It has five letters in it. And it is not next door to you, unless you like cold weather, really cold weather. Yep. Every single one of these catastrophes, which the insurance companies love to say, well, that's an act of God, so you're not covered. One of the biggest frauds in history is the insurance industry. You know, it's a deception industry. It's a deception coverage. Are you really buying life insurance or are you buying death insurance? They know nobody would want to buy death insurance, so they give you a false name, life insurance. A recent government regime was trying to sell everybody on the idea of a particular health program. So they didn't want to call it, a genocide program, which is what it was. So they named it a health program. Global warming, it's really the ice age coming, but they want to drain the governments of all their money by having all these restrictions and regulations and all of this entire major industry created for the sole purpose of slowing down economic activity, bankrupting countries. Evil works in such deceptive ways. If you just reverse, think of the opposite of what you hear on mainstream media, you're probably going to be pretty close to the truth. And if they all of a sudden are deciding to publish the truth about someone that everyone knows is evil, then you know that they're ready to dispose of them. They're tired of paying for clones and CGI and doubles. I mean, they use actors for the executive office. Actors. These are paid actors. people are really tricked. They think they're seeing the real person, and they're not. They're seeing an actor. They're seeing an actor. Or they're seeing someone wearing a rubber suit. Well, and they're actors, but a rubber suit. If anyone remembers the old TV series called Mission Impossible, they developed this thing, this technology that can give somebody the appearance they want to give them. Through computer technology, they can actually create a rubber suit that would be like the upper half of the body that would give them the physique and the appearance. And unless you were standing up close to them, in other words, they don't let people get close to them. They show them on TV or whatever and use all their other tricks. I know one thing that Hollywood, when they met with the chief of disguise in one of our three-letter agencies, and this is public information. That person became a whistleblower, did a video. It's out on the internet. We've got a copy of it. Anyway, it shows a person standing next to another one. It's an image of the real person who is not even alive anymore. And then the individual that is wearing this rubber suit, I mean, we're talking, this happened to be a woman. We're talking long hair, eyebrows, eyelashes, you know, the whole works. A physique that is like a beauty queen. And they start taking off this rubber suit. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. It's just unbelievable. But it's out there. I mean, the truth is out there, even though you have to dig for it. They're trying to get rid of all the truth. There are some search engines that are not the common ones that everybody seems to be using, but there are search engines out there that are not censoring anything. So you can find the truth. You can find these videos. You can find the history. You can find the text articles if you really want to search. But the main thing is you're aware that their goal is to have everything be disinformation. And like they said, their goal was it will be have been completed when everybody, what everyone believes is false. Now that's the way Mortal Mind works. Forget about what the name of the three-letter agency is. It's basically the way Mortal Mind operates, period. There have been presidents that have been assassinated because they were trying to drain the swamp. And it's public information now, finally, that our own three-letter agencies are the ones that assassinated them. No, it wasn't some foreign power. And no, all of these images of airplanes flying into the towers that they call 9/11 incident, no, they're not all real airplanes. But boy, they want you to think that. They sure want you to think that. And some of the people that have exposed it have been in jail for a long time. And many have been assassinated. We need to do our work every day. Mary Baker Eddy said that a few solid Christian scientists could be the root, you know, the raindrops that can save civilization from extinction, save it from thousands of years of dark ages that we're at the precipice of. I mean, we're right on the edge right now. People don't realize that, you know, the evil doesn't even have the nuclear codes. The codes are in the hands of the good people because it's been kept secret. You know, they're all worried about nuclear war. In fact, they the number one guy in one of our services, by services I mean military, was kidnapped. Who knows about it? Very few. He was kidnapped because they thought he had the codes, the nuclear codes. Unfortunately for him, they tortured him, almost killed him. Finally, a whistleblower came forth and revealed where he was. And he was captured and saved. And he's recuperating now. We must take action. We must be aware of what's going on. Genocide is another one. You know, they think that giving you a shot in the arm, they've convinced people that taking a shot in the arm is going to save them. It's genocide. It's genocide. That is the way evil works. Whatever it is they're promoting, the opposite is the truth. Anything that has to do with life, truth, and intelligence being in matter, you can be guaranteed that it's not. The only solution is spirit. Spirit. There's one God. We better be yielding to that one God, or we're in trouble. Real trouble. Real trouble. Could be the end of civilization. And that's not a scare tactic. That's the truth. It's been prophesied by Mary Baker Eddy, by others that are God's messengers. We've got to take a stand and we've got to do it. Wherever there's chaos going on, you can better believe it, that it's been planned. They set food processing plants on fire. They've killed animals. I mean, millions and millions and billions, if not tens of millions or even more. Chickens. What do you think you're paying for the price of a dozen eggs? You think all of a sudden chickens are made out of gold? They're all laying golden eggs? No, they killed the chickens. They killed the chickens. It's all false information about why the prices are high. They're trying to cut off the food supply. I don't happen to have any faith myself in medicine, but they're trying to say we have a shortage of medicine. Well, the guys that are working to draining the swamp, they just discovered that another country that is in the news every single day about being good guys, which is really the center of corruption of the entire planet Earth, including the leader as the head of the corruption. Everyone thinks those are the good guys, and they think the good guys are the bad guys. If you want to start a church, the easiest place to start it is where they're promoting is the evil person that is the one in charge in an evil country. Go over there and visit it. I have a friend that went over there many times recently, and they said, wow, everybody loves everybody. They welcome you in open arms. If you need something, they will help you get it. Never been more love expressed than in the country that everybody is trying to be promoted to think as evil. And there's no good that is in the country that is everyone thinks is good. It's the opposite. That's the way evil works. That's the way it works. Anyway, a lot of things are being exposed. Subliminal advertising. They flash things that is faster than what you can realize is there, but it goes into your consciousness. They've been doing this ever since television came out. Subliminal advertising. Look at an advertisement of anything. You see anybody that is not wearing glasses? No, I mean, it's very hard. A beautiful woman, they'll put big glasses on, trying to normalize that defective eyesight is the norm. They used to show people that were really beautiful people, you know, a man with a perfect physique and woman with a voluptuous body and everything, holding a glass of wine or liquor or something, or smoking. That's all subliminal advertising. It's just unbelievable. We are like sheep unless we make a conscious decision to not be a sheep. They're promoting eating bugs. Can you believe that? One agency that wants to have a one world government. They're promoting eating bugs, owning nothing, and being happy. Mary Baker Eddy taught mental independence, not subservience to a government. Do you think there is separation of church and state in America? Are you kidding? You have to get a business license to have a church. A business license is controlled by whoever gives you the license. You want donations that people can use as a tax deduction? You have to have a federal license exemption, and they can control that. No, there's no separation of church and state. Do you know that a case that goes to court is put into a package and people can invest in that case? Why do you think they have a 97% conviction rate in the U.S. court system? 97%. The Nazis in Germany had a lower conviction rate than 97%. Now we're talking, you know, World War II, in the 1930s. Until, you know, Germany conceded. But they did they really concede? All of their intelligence was imported by the U.S. and used to start one of our three-letter agencies, which is still dominated by the same theme. The matter world is, like one of our friends of the Institute said recently, is dance cards. Which one do you want to take? Which dance do you want to be in? Because there's infinite number of dances out there. Evil is infinite just like good is. Because if good is defined by its opposite. It's like the two gardeners. One gardener, you know, they both lived in lovely estates, or they were caring for the gardens in the lovely estates, and they lived there. And one gardener had just a beautiful garden. I mean, everything was perfect. The most beautiful flowers, the most wonderful fragrance. Everything was organized in colors, and I mean, you know, it was like designed by a graphic artist. And the other one just didn't know much about gardening. So he would go over to the other garden when the guy wasn't around. He would steal things. And the gardener would come out to, you know, return to his garden or whatever, come the next day to the beginning of the day of the gardening. He'd notice a plant was missing and, you know, somebody was with him one day. And he said, man, what happened to that plant? It's gone. There's a hole in the ground. Looks like something was there. Did it die? He says, no. He says, my best friend took it. He said, your best friend? He said, oh, yeah. He says, the gardener next door. What? He stole one of your plants? I mean, you've got all prized plants here in your garden. He said, oh, yeah, he's my best friend because he reminds me of what I don't want to be. I thought that was choice. He reminds me of what I don't want to be. Now that's the approach we need to take with evil. It reminds us of getting our thought on the truth. Music. Well, I already mentioned that about there's no melody. I think I've covered most of the things here. The thoughts have come forth to present them. They may not have been. This is not a polished presentation. This is an extemporaneous recording. Whatever comes to thought, I say it. Hopefully it's all correct. I don't listen to these recordings. We publish them as unedited, and I have not listened to them as a policy before they're published, because it is thoughts that flow. But we're certainly open to suggestions if anyone wants to make a constructive comment about them. In fact, about anything on the website. The website, by the way, is MBE for Mary Baker Eddy. That's short, just the first initial of each one of her names. MBEinstitute.org. And as you know, websites are available 24/7, 365. As of now, everything on the website is free. We have a large inventory of very, very fine. Well, we've got like, I think it's 89 authors. And we have some that you can't find their works anywhere else. And we feel that they are presenting the very direct, perfectly clear statements in their writings about Christian Science, the system of divine metaphysics that Mary Baker Eddy refers to that I mentioned earlier, that she states in Science and Health about science. Christian Science has been reduced to a system. They have spent years and years of their life. And a recent addition to our inventory, I say recent, this happened to be, I don't know, many years ago, I don't know, 5 or 10 years ago, a man by the name of Rolf Witzke. And he showed a further dimension of the system that Mary Baker Eddy hid in Science and Health, how various things connect. He did a wonderful analysis of the glossary, showing how things interconnect. And he's connected a variety of things, the chapters of Science and Health, with a 144-element matrix, which is like 12 times, I think. No, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's 8 times the size of the matrix that was previously developed. Just showing more and more interconnections. It's like the roots of the sequoia or the redwood sequoia trees in northwest U.S., Northwest California, at least. Maybe it doesn't go all the way up to Washington, but anyway, I think anyone that's been around very long have heard of this redwood sequoias. And they have a root system, shallow, not very deep under the surface of the earth, but it connects with all of the other redwood trees in the stand, the group. And that's why they stay so long. They have unity. They withstand fire, you know, wind, all kinds of things that take other trees down, because they have this natural bonding with the other trees around. Well, that's what we have to realize we are a part of. We're in the network of truth. We're in the network of God. We're in the network of the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. By the way, incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite is part of the operators Just like add, subtract, multiply, and divide are operators in math, music has its operators. It's much more complex than math, but so I won't go into it at the moment. I've covered it in some other recordings. But the incorporeal means the word. The word means the facts about God. Incorporeal. There's no body to it. God is not a body. God is not a person. God is qualities. And before we can even approach the qualities of God, we've got to be in a disgusted state about matter. We've got to realize that we're at a dead end. It's not getting us anywhere to focus on money, assets, food as a god, where we live to eat instead of eat to live. So we have to realize that God is incorporeal. Then we can start understanding more about God's qualities, which is the word. The next one is divine, incorporeal divine. Divine is the Christ. The Christ represents translation. So when we have the words which describe God, we have to make sure that we're looking at the spiritual nature of God. We can't be tricked. For example, mind, we have to know that there's one mind, and that mind is not a human brain that's in the top part of one's body. But the mind is something that is beyond matter. We have to translate whatever is presented to us, you know, the phone ringing, the suggestion. We have to translate that to what is the truth. And we have to reverse it. You know, the theory has to be reversed. If we look at the opposite of the theory, then we're going to be able to see the truth. That's the translation. And the third one is supreme, incorporeal divine supreme. Supreme is Christianity. Christianity is taking the word, which is the facts about God, translating it so that we are seeing the spiritual nature and not being tricked by the suggestions of the phone ringing. And we use that, those two things, to demonstrate, to prove it. And this is where healing comes about. And we can't be up there with God all the time, because we have to go down to the depth of humanity and see where the problem is. We have to dig. We have to do the steps that were mentioned, that Mary Baker Eddy said we needed to take, which was analyzing to find out where the problem is. We have to expose it. We have to go through those steps that I mentioned. So that is the demonstration. That is the Christianity. It is living the qualities of God and seeing it in everyone else. If one is in the Christian Science practice of healing and they're on the phone with somebody, they have to let the person get off of their chest what they feel they need to say. If you cut somebody off, then you're not communicating or letting them communicate. But when you hang up the phone, you got to do the opposite. You got to clean it out of consciousness and know that there is absolutely no truth in anything that is ungodlike. And you're not going to believe it, that it is true. When Jesus would see someone along the way as he was walking that was having a problem, I don't care whether it was blindness or leprosy or whether he was going to see Tabitha and show that she wasn't really dead but sleeping, or Lazarus or whatever. You have to recognize that person as perfect right now. Not tomorrow, right now. Frederick L. Rawson, I think I mentioned that he said everything should be demonstrated mentally. And I mentioned about his book and about the healing of the man that jumped up through the rocks. Well, you have to be like Jesus, not recognize them as a person with a problem, but you have to see them as the perfect man. That's what Rawson did. He had to see that man as the perfect man already. There's nothing but God. There is not mortal mind. There's not genocide. There's not disinformation. We're going to see the facts. And Christianity is demonstrating that. And when we've demonstrated it and proven it, because remember, everything is a formula, everything is a science. Two times three is always six. You know, seven times nine is always 63. 12 squared is always 144. 13, 169, and so forth. It's always the fact. We have to stick with the fact. And of course, that's what science and health is all about. That is a statement of the facts about Christian Science. And when we've demonstrated successfully, then we're in the fourth step, which is science. So it's the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Infinite is science. There's no end to it. Infinite progression is concrete being. Infinite progression. So that's what we have to do. We have to work to get into the science category, which means that we automatically, like Jesus, recognize whatever we see, we have to automatically realize the truth that is going on right there. That's the translating, but the science means that it's done automatically. And we totally skip the area where there is a vision of a problem. So the synonyms for God don't do any good unless we use the operators. It's like someone can say, well, I'm a trillionaire. Okay, I'm a trillionaire. And we've got, you know, at least one around. Anyway, I'm a trillionaire. Well, what good does that do? What are you doing with the $1 trillion? It doesn't do any good to just have $1 trillion. Whether it's in a bank account or it's in gold or it's in, you know, collectible arts or rare cars or rare stamps or whatever it is, doesn't do any good. What are you doing with it? Are you doing any good with it? Are you helping humanity with it without your name on it, advertising that it's your ego that is giving it away so you can be recognized as having this series of libraries or university buildings or whatever. If you can give it away anonymously for good that is really helping humanity, then you are really doing something worthwhile. So that's what we have to do. Supply and demand? There is no such thing as a supply without a demand. There's no such thing as a demand without a supply. You cannot have a demand unless you can define that there is an opposite, a supply. You can't have a supply unless you can define a demand. You can't define it. That's what soul is about. Soul is the spiritual sense that lets you identify properly. Life is living it. I didn't mention it, but system and structure is principle. You have to have everything structured with a spiritual nature, and you have to have a system so you know how it operates. Life is living it. Truth is the measure. Like you're a carpenter and you want that wall to be straight. You know, that's the design of it. It's not an archway, but it's a wall that's supposed to be perpendicular. 90 degrees. It can't be 89.999. That's not a good foundation. It's got to be 90. So if you're building even a two or three story house, you can't have it off by 1 degree. Or a percent of a degree. And imagine building a skyscraper. Well, we're building a building that goes to heaven. Of course, it's all within consciousness. But if we're off 1 degree, we're 1/10 of 1/1000th of 1 degree, we're going to miss it. Imagine building a railroad, and one is starting in one side of the country, and let's say it's like Russia, you know, the largest country in the world. Boy, if you were off anything, even a decimal of a decimal of a decimal of a degree, those tracks are not going to match up when you get to where they're supposed to meet. And then you're in big trouble. So we have to be on the spot, absolutely perfect. Otherwise, if we don't have a perfect foundation, we're not going to go anywhere. It's going to be a mistake. Well, hopefully you have an idea of how evil works and how we must do our digging, our analyzing, to figure it out, and so that we can protect ourselves. Debbie Klingbeil, really a fine practitioner, who did some wonderful research along with her brother and father on the effectiveness of prayer, realized that the mortal mind, the brain, the human nature, does not want to accept change because of the built-in ego. And we are blinded by our ego, don't even know what's going on underneath the surface. But we have to realize, we have to become aware of this, we have to be conscious of it, and we can use the quality of all-knowing of God to help us become conscious. Truth is consciousness. Truth is motive. If we have a pure motive, truth will help us become conscious of what we need to know to protect ourselves and to protect our loved ones and our, you know, our friends and groups and universal belief. We can help overcome universal belief by reflecting the truth out into the universe. So we have to be aware of these things that are working under the surface in order to protect ourselves and help protect the world. We have to be one of those that Mary Baker Eddy referred to, of only a few Christian Scientists would get involved wholeheartedly, we could change the world. Not we, but we would help the world wake up to realize that perfection is within everyone's individual consciousness. And all we have to do is open up that door. A popular image of Christ Jesus, and we have it on our website, is him knocking on a door. In fact, it's at the top of every page. In the header, knocking on the door. He's knocking on the door of consciousness. Are we going to open it and let him in? Are we going to let that Christ thought be what dominates our consciousness? It's a lot easier to have that filter at the beginning than it is to try to clean it out. I talked to a very dear friend of mine who'd been a friend for many years until she went on to another dimension. And she said that when she talks to, I was talking to her very from a practical standpoint one day, and I said, tell me how you go about executing a treatment. So she started talking and she said, well, you know, when I get off the phone, I could be on the phone 1 minute and they give me all their problems in one fast minute. She said, it might take me 15 minutes or even 30 minutes to clear my thought about everything that attempts to make a suggestion. 30 minutes. She said, usually at least 10 or 15, sometimes 30. Before I can begin to work. Because you can't work if you believe what someone tells you that's a lie. Mary Baker Eddy says human nature is lie upon lie. All of mankind is lie upon lie. So, that's it. We have one thing to remember for sure and work toward, and that is that there's nothing but God. There is nothing but God. God is all in all. All source And that includes manifestation. So that's where we are. We're in one grand network with the divine. Amen.